51 now, ESPN Radio, 93.5, 95.3.
All right, Mondays and Fridays, it is always a pleasure to welcome two great people, Brother Johnny today in Houston, Texas. Johnny!
Good morning, Stevie J.
Mike Ditka, where are you?
I'm in Naples, Florida right now.
Naples, Florida, conquering another golf course. Mike Ditka.
Oh, I'm terrible, but I'm still playing, but I'm terrible.
Well, I tell you what, we're still buzzing around here. Scott Langley, University of Illinois graduate, in his first full year on the PGA, is winning in Hawaii. Johnny at the Sony shot 62, 8 under yesterday.
That's fantastic. Way to go.
62? God. Holy cow. I don't know how good these guys are. Mike, the young players, we've said it before, there's 100 guys that can win on a weekend. It's crazy.
Yeah, the golf tour is pretty talented. These kids are phenomenal. Phenomenal athletes.
All right, we begin with, let's go back to Monday, because when we talked on Monday, we didn't talk a lot about Alabama Notre Dame. Holy cow. Johnny, Alabama, yikes.
Well, Mike, that's a pretty good football team. It was quite a show, and they played very well, and they're a very good team, so... you know, a lot of competition in the SEC, and I don't think Notre Dame had seen anything like that as a team, and they just couldn't handle that.
Well, you're right, John. You know, you hate to say it, but it was almost men against boys in the sense that the athleticism of the Alabama football team, seemed so much better. I mean, I'm not saying their talent, but they were more athletic, faster. I guess I guess you would say they were just all around better, because a lot of those Notre Dame players in position to make tackles, and they couldn't make them.
Well, I'll tell you, Stevie, I told, 28-0, I'm thinking, oh, please, Lord, they're Catholic. They got to score one. Come on, let's go. But, I mean, it was a good Catholic school, Notre Dame, and a lot of times they seem like they've got everything on their side. This time, it seemed to be going against them, Coach. They had a couple bad calls, a couple bad bounces early.
Yeah, I agree. They got some bad calls. There's no question. But you know, you just gotta say what it is. Alabama's terrific. Alabama's terrific. And when you start talking about football, then the Texas A&M A&M team has been pretty good too.
Oh yeah, no kidding. I think they're fantastic. I'll tell you, the coach of Notre Dame even said it at halftime, well, maybe they won't come back out.
No.
Because you're standing there figuring out what are you going to do, and you don't really, well, you can't coach your way around that, I guess, Mike. But I thought they really did do a good job just to get the two touchdowns, because that could have been worse.
They could have gotten the 50s or 60s. There's no question about it.
Mike, we're getting a little echo. I want to make sure we hear all of your important words. Is there any way we can get you closer to the phone on that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
All right.
There we go. Because when Mike Ditka speaks, the world listens, and I don't want to miss a word. So I want to get your opinion, Mike, of what ESPN said the day after Brent Musburger said this. ESPN apologized for this.
Back at Alabama. You see that lovely lady there? She does go to Auburn. I want to admit that. But she also, this Alabama, and that's A.J. McCarron's girlfriend, okay? And right there on the right is Dee Dee Bonner. That's AJ's mom. Wow, I'm telling you, quarterbacks, you get all the good-looking women. What a beautiful woman.
Wow, AJ's doing some things right down in
Tuscaloosa. So if you're a youngster in Alabama, start getting the football out and throw it around the backyard with Pop.
All right, Mike, what was your take on what Brent Musburger said at the national title game?
I didn't think there was anything the matter with it, but then that's me. I think the lady was a very attractive lady. I didn't know. When they showed a picture of her, I didn't know it was A.J. McCarron's fiance or girlfriend or whatever, but she was a very attractive woman. They said she was a former Miss Alabama or Miss Alabama, and then I really didn't hear all Brent's comments, but I didn't see anything wrong with it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and it might have been a little bit unprofessional, quote-unquote, as far as that goes, but it certainly wasn't insulting. I mean, it was a double-takeable.
Well, you know, the only thing I got out of that was, well, you're going to go tell your kids to grow up quarterbacks. I don't know. And I'm sure Brent was just trying to be cute, and maybe sometimes it gets too cute, it gets a little out of line.
And Stevie, there wasn't a whole lot going on the field. I mean,
true.
I would say to show a few more of the girls in the stands if you want to know the truth.
Well, and I think it's unusual that in a college game you're finding a girlfriend. I've seen wives.
Well, they do that a lot.
They did wives. I don't know if I've seen girlfriends.
Yeah, it's a story. You know, we make a mountain out of a mole. I'll tell you what, I've got a side story on that, Steve. I think Illinois maybe should be entitled to a piece of the national championship trophy.
Illinois?
Yeah, Illinois. Because, okay. Mike, they've got three of them. And just because they're better and can beat anyone in the country, it's not fair that they should have three and we don't have any trophies because we can't beat anybody, Steve. And here's my angle. Steve, they dropped one of their trophies and it broke. And I think we ought to at least get a piece of that one and maybe give one to Colorado because they may be even worse than we are.
Hey, if you're sharing the wealth, Mike, you're sharing the wealth. Let's spread it around. Come on. You got to spread the wealth.
I'm kind of.
I don't know, guys. Your rationale, I don't think that works.
In the spread the wealth era we live in, I would suggest Alabama line up on the 20-yard line and we have a draft and we get some of those guys because it's not fair.
Well, Steve, I think. I'm just talking about a piece of the one they dropped anyway. Come on. We need our fair share. So,
Nick Saban has taken a lot of heat, you know, and whether he deserves it or not, that has nothing to do with it. I listened to his comments today on ESPN on Mike and Mike, and, you know, this guy is really a good coach, and he understands what he wants to do, how he's going to do it, and he gets it done. I think, you know, that this program – at Alabama could be good for years to come. I'm not saying to win the national championship every year, but my God, 3 out of 4 years isn't a bad start.
Amazing. All right, Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, ESPN, 93.5, 95.3. Let me ask Mike Ditka, let me ask you this question, because it came up after the national title game regarding happiness and big-time coaches. Can a coach at a very high level that's very successful enjoy the win, or do you always say, yeah, but we got to get ready for next year?
Well, you have to enjoy the win. If you don't, you're gonna burn out. You have to take time, enjoy the win, and then understand, you know, it's being misleading. It's going to go away. You got to get back to work. And, I mean, I think Nick Saban's probably a workaholic, which is not bad if you're a football coach. It's pretty good.
Well, I think, too, I think he enjoys the coaching. I think that's what he did. Mike, you always look like you enjoyed what you're doing, too, not just the winning of it, but also just why you're doing it.
Well, it's a challenge. You know, you play the game to play the game. Yeah, you play the game to win, but it's the challenge of playing the game of competing. And I think that's what makes Nick tick and makes a lot of good coaches tick.
But, I mean, the margin, though, between victory and loss seems slimmer than ever.
Well, I'll tell you, it wasn't too slim in that game. And I think they may win a couple more national championships in the next few years.
That one had nothing to do with luck.
Yeah, that's right. No, that's right. It was a dominating performance. All right, let's switch to the Baseball Hall of Fame chat about first-time eligible players, Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa, Roger Clemens, Mark McGwire. None came close to the 75% needed to get in the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. All obviously because of the steroids and the era these guys played in. Mike, what was your take on the whole Hall of Fame? Nobody gets in this year.
Well, you know, I'm not a sports writer. I mean, I guess it's the baseball writers. You know, they did what they thought was best to keep the Hall of Fame the way it is. But it's the way it's going now with the way things have developed and athletes have changed. You know, they could say, okay, we're not going to let anybody else in because they're probably somebody's taking something, believe me. So I find it hard to believe that I can take something that's going to make me hit the ball like Barry Bonds did. Come on. I don't get that. Or throw like Roger Clemens threw. I don't get all that stuff. Maybe they can. I don't know. But I'm not going to get into it. And if you had whatever they were taking and you gave it to everybody, nobody would get the same results these guys got. So I don't know enough about it. So I guess I'm prejudiced to the point of saying I really enjoyed watching those guys play baseball. And to me, you know, I rank them right up there with the Ted Williamses and the Stan Musials and the Babe Ruth, you know, and the big guys that played the game. So it's that was part of me growing up watching these guys play baseball, and I enjoyed it.
Well, and You know, maybe they should have put Pete Rose in there, Steve, because well, he didn't take anything. He gambled, I guess.
Yeah, right. Gambled, and that's the integrity issue, I guess, on that
and
one.
And I think that's the whole objection. I don't know that it's official, but
I'm not knocking the baseball. I understand what they're trying to do, and yet what I'm saying is I don't understand, and maybe it's me. I don't understand how you can take a pill and it'll make you hit home runs. I don't know.
I think the theory is it was against the rules, and I think that's all it is. It's like Lance Armstrong. I think he probably was a great biker without the doping, but he broke the rules, and that's it. You're done. If you're going to play a game, you need to go by the rules.
Well, and I think, too, part of it when these guys are taken, some of the things were legal at the time and then later banned, but it's just the whole era of enhanced performance usage of whatever fly balls that were on the warning track got over the wall. Those kinds of things are what they say. But again, that was an era. Do we penalize everybody during that era? Do they ever get in? We'll have to wait and see. They're eligible for 15 years. All right, to the games this weekend. Saturday, Baltimore at Denver. Does Baltimore have a chance out there, Mike?
Well, you know, I haven't been right all week. I mean, I think three losers last week. I would definitely say that anytime you're in the playoffs, you got a chance, but I really like Denver in this game.
Yeah, I think Peyton's going to be ready to go, and I think a lot of people are pulling for Denver because of Peyton Manning, too, Mike. He's stirred a lot of interest up.
Well, it's a great human interest story, but he's a great person. He's a great athlete, and they got a good football team and a good football coach, guys. Don't dismiss that.
Second game, Green Bay, San Francisco. That's a heavyweight title bout, Mike.
Well, I don't know if Green Bay can go out there and match up with them. You know, I love Green Bay. I think that the quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, is just very, very special guy on and off the field. But I know what Jim's going to try to do. He's going to try to pound them and bruise them with that big line and those extra guys. And if he can beat that defense down, they're going to have some success.
Well, I think that they can beat Bay can beat San Francisco out there, but I think that might be your Super Bowl team from the NFC. So we'll see.
Yeah. Sunday, Seattle at Atlanta. Seattle loses their best pass rusher and their kicker. So can they still have the mo to go down to Atlanta, who has home field throughout? Is Atlanta overrated, Johnny? What do you think?
I think they'll beat Atlanta. I think Mike's been a little bit less enamored with them all year, and I agree with him. I don't think Atlanta can beat Seattle. I don't think they're good enough.
I don't know if they can or not, but I know one thing that you know, anybody, we all say Seattle is amazing. Now, whether you like it or not, they're good. They lost the AI, they lost the pass rusher. I don't think it's going to hurt that much. I think what they're doing right now, and the other thing that this happened is they got so much confidence right now. They believe they can do anything.
Yeah, right.
That's true, and that's a lot of it. It'll be tough in there, but Atlanta's home field doesn't seem to be as dominant as some places to me either. At least they're in our division, so we play over there every year. We do okay with Atlanta, so I'd say Seattle will win that game.
All right, Houston at New England. Anybody think Houston has a chance?
I got Houston right down here in East Texas. Texans. They got New England kind of napping. They figure they beat them bad, Mike. They're going to upset them. Of course, I'm talking about the Houston.
I'll say one guy that old saying, you wish you one hand and the other, you know what you get. So, you know, you got a handful of what. But I don't think they got a chance. I'm sorry. And I really... I, if you're going to do it, here's what's going to happen. They got a chance. They've got to get to Brady and get him on the ground.
Yeah, right.
That's what's going to happen. I don't think that their secondary is good enough to cover those guys if Brady has time.
Right.
But if they get to him now, if JJ can get to him, they can win the game.
7:48, Mike Ditka, brother Johnny. All right, let's switch to some political issues. The White House says they might use some executive order powers when it comes to gun control. That's raging from the standpoint of chat in Washington. Can and should anything be done with gun control, Johnny?
Well, can and should, of course they can do some things, and should we do some gun control, some of the ammo, some of the weapons? I don't have a major problem with some of these ridiculous high-powered weapons being a little more controlled than they are now. I don't see it being a big impact item in terms of stopping some of the things going on. Unfortunately, I'm afraid that isn't the core problem. If it makes people feel any better, I guess that's okay. It's just not going to solve the problem, Steve. We've got issues that are disturbing, and I don't know. What I don't like is the way it's identified as the problem and how it evolves into, if you're against gun control, then you must be for shooting people.
Yeah,
it kind of evolves in that direction, and you start that political split again. You know what I mean, Mike? You get this kind of, you're accusing someone who's for gun control of wanting that kind of thing to happen, the kind of thing where people get killed.
But here's the thing, guys. I don't have an answer. I don't know. I just know there are a whole lot of guns. Like what I read today, there are over, how many millions of guns in this country?
Hundreds of millions.
And listen, how many incidents are there? We can think of three or four in the last 3 or 4 years. That's about it. So not, you know, a lot of people with guns, you know, they're going, I don't know why they have the guns, but that's their right to have them. But it's the individuals that do it, and they're wrong. I mean, these individuals were demented and deranged and everything else, and yet, you know, they get the possession of a gun, and they use it.
So I think they'll have a lot of more conversation about it. And as far as the executive fiat, I don't know what Obama's really going to be able to do. He can tighten some things up. I read some of the things he was thinking of, quote, decreeing, and I don't have any problem with those things. I think you got to be careful what you try to decree as president, and I think that's the real underlying issue is we need to follow our political process and our legal process, whatever we do.
Decree is king.
Exactly. We don't need a king. Don't want a king.
Yeah. Right. All right. Finally, Al Gore sells Current TV to Al Jazeera.
I guess anybody has an opinion of Al Gore, but you know, hey, what's it all about? You look at a lot of these so-called great man, and it's all about money, you know, and basically that's what that deal comes down to. It's strictly money, but I guess he's got a right to do it. It was his.
But I'll tell you too, Mike, Al Jazeera, that's one of the most amazing things I've seen, although it's funny in a way that Al Gore also pushed hard to get that deal done before December 31st because he didn't want to pay his fair share. He did not want to pay the higher taxes, and they fought hard to get that deal through. And it was a big deal, you know. He had to pay capital gains on that deal, which was $500 million bucks.
And maybe he'll donate a little bit back to the administration.
Yeah.
Well, that did cost him another $40 million a group because capital gains went up 5% from 15 to 20, and Obamacare takes another 3.8 off the top now on any kind of net gain on a sale like that.
Wow.
So you're talking about $40 million bucks. So they were working hard. They didn't get it done. According to the report, it was done January 3rd, $40 million bucks for those 3 days.
Well, John, let me tell you something. If I do a deal that I'm going to make $300-400 million on, and you want to take 40, have at it, buddy. Have at it.
Well, it was 75 plus another 40. So they had to pay 75, which to me, you know, I think that's enough taxes. I think you go back to the old problem of what are they doing with the money, and maybe you look at that the other side of it, which we haven't done. But I thought it was interesting because Al talked so eloquently about the rich need to pay more, and they need to pay their fair share, and then he didn't want to do it. He absolutely didn't want to pay any more than he had to. But I guess that's a little hypocritical, but
kidding. You talk out of both sides of your mouth. I mean, these guys are all amazing. I mean,
yeah,
I just
they do. It's true, Stevie.
Yeah.
About what Obama said in 2008, and he contradicted himself totally just last week. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, all right. We'll leave it there. We'll be watching you, Mike. You're on ESPN this weekend, I trust.
I hope so. I hope so.
Well, it'll be we got some great matchups, and it's going to be interesting to see who's left standing. I think the Houston, Texas.
The
Houston,
John.
Texans get to New Orleans, Stevie, because that'll be a big economic boom because they got a bunch of money in Houston. We're also pulling for either Seattle or San Fran. Mike, you look at the cities that are going to bring the most people and the most money when you have the Super Bowl, and New Orleans needs an economic influx. So we're cheering for the teams with the money now.
You don't need to bring any more people to New Orleans. There'll be enough there no matter who gets there.
Yeah. That's true. He's right,
yeah.
Stevie.
Yeah. All right, guys, we'll call you Monday. Thanks again, as always.
Thank you, guys. Take care. God bless.
Thanks a lot.
Thank
See you.
Brother Johnny Mike Ditka. ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3. Mike in Naples, Florida, headed to Bristol, Connecticut for ESPN all weekend. Brother Johnny in Houston this morning at 7:54.